Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is the Nerds Watching Wrestling Podcast, where we want to see more Alba Fire and Isle of Dawn on our television screens.
I don't know about that.
Like I said, like, I'm demanding justice for women again in 2024. Like I said, Bayley is on none of these WrestleMania promotions. Kaylee Ray was the longest reigning modern era. Like, we gotta get back on the Triple H.
They cursed the women's tag titles, so like they do.
That's because Oscar Foot was almost broke.
They cursed the women's tag titles, so like they're good.
But before we get too far, once again, I am your Southern Wrestling Scholar, ZJ Pierce. In the booth today with me, obviously, the quantifiable JQ Williams. And today we have a very special guest from the Lost Files of this podcast. We have our brother Val Vegan Cam in the building. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. Glad to be back. Long time no see.
Oh, God. Welcome back, sir. We figured with everything that's going on with AEW, you'd be the perfect person to bring in this week to help make some sense of its growing popularity. Like, someone said that now we're in the silver age of AEW because now we're in AEW with none of the pillars here, none of the main elite, like, none of the main elite is leading because Kenny's sick, Cody gone, Hangman and the EVP's major heel. Okada, Swerve, Joe.
I mean, yeah.
I just hope they finna do right with this women's division. Like, once again, like, I just keep... Cause like, bro, like, we see this time and time again when we get the next biggest, the quote, biggest name in women's wrestling. And then we think that we get, like, that's gonna give a little more shine to the division until it ultimately don't. Cause like I said, the top, like... Nigga, CEO sound like Soraya. Soraya sound like Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa sound like Deonna Purrazzo.
No. See. I'm going to stop you right there. CEO came in off an injury. Soraya came in off a head trauma. So, like.
I unretired in AEW.
And we put you on a limited action contract, sweetie. We ain't seen you in a match in how long? And you in a current active story with Ruby Soho, who you could have fought a month ago
and got rid of it.
Appreciate it.
This storyline has been played out. The CEO
will be talked about in good lights, sir. Appreciate it. Don't go pay out the Soraya. They got her brother in. He still ain't had a match yet. Like him and Cool Hand still.
So
backstage.
Let me ask this question. I watch a lot of AEW. It's a lot of. What's the word I'm looking for? It's a lot of tribalism going on online.
Oh boy,
absolutely.
Oh boy, the tribalism is one thing I just keep out. I was just like, nah.
That the dirt sheets and tribalism ruin wrestling as we know it because we don't know. We find out
way too much, way too early.
Yeah, we find out stuff that we supposed to like when we was kids and we grew up watching wrestling. We was used to the surprise. Like, when Triple H first came back from injury, we was like, oh, like, shit, when it came back.
The MSG return.
Shoot. Yeah, I mean.
But yeah, the MSG return. Like, that was big.
Yeah, because but like, now we find out stuff a week, couple days, month in advance, and it don't feel the same big effect. Like, we knew CEO was coming, and we was like.
Like, the moment they announced big business, we knew that was Mercedes. It's going to, like. You gotta forget, like, WWE slave names be just like sticking. Like, cause I still call Copeland Edge to this, like, gonna call him Edge like several times in this AEW review.
Mr. Cope.
But before we get lost in all that, we're gonna talk about all the follow-up in AEW, cause obviously, once again, like I said, we jinxed ourselves. We ain't had no new champion last week, so they gave us two this weekend. And we also going to talk about WWE as we are still on the road to WrestleMania. But first, we're just going to get into some little online play that we noted this week. Once again, firstly, we mentioned, or haven't mentioned, I hope we mentioned it. Did we mention it last week, Shayna Baszler going to GCW?
We did indeed.
All right, now we have confirmation on who our match is going to be against. Like, if you haven't heard, Shayna Baszler is being allowed to go and participate in GCW's Bloodsport by Josh Barnett. Apparently, he's been trying to get some of the MMA people for a while from Triple H, like even going back as far as 2018. They wanted Jessamyn Duke to be a part of it while she was still signed.
That they did.
So now, with Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke and Ronda Rousey, all free agents, and now we have the permission to have Shayna Baszler on Bloodsport, first of all, that could be like that interference in that match could be.
I mean, like, it'll be a nice little one-off.
It'll be the perfect one-off, and it'll be the one-off that Shayna Baszler needs.
Until she comes back and gets right back in this tag team with Zoe Stark, and then, you know, flounders.
That's crazy to me. Like, they could have been doing stuff like that. I mean, my thing is, as much crap as we give, or tribalists give Tony Khan, he do let them work outside the promotion, New Japan, AAA,
CMLL. Like, that freedom just to actually go and wrestle does mean a lot to people.
Yeah, because some people don't want the money. They just want to wrestle.
And with WWE, it's WWE a bus.
Exactly.
So, like, so shout out to Triple H for, like, letting people have these new endeavors, like Shayna, like Shinsuke, like, letting them be able to go out and do stuff. But, yes, Shayna Baszler will be facing TNA Knockout and former GCW world champion Masha Slamovich at Bloodsport. That match is going to be so beautifully violent. That match is going to give us a glimpse of NXT Prime Shayna Baszler again.
I miss Perfect Form Shayna.
Miss Perfect Sales Shayna. Like, Becky Lynch definitely knocked the android out there.
Knocked all three of them out, baby. Like, Becky knocked all the androids out of Perfect Shayna, and now we just heal.
So, cannot wait for GCW Bloodsport. I did not do you guys the service of looking up the date, so we're just going to say coming soon. I'm assuming it's going to be WrestleMania weekend.
It's like 2 weeks away?
Yeah, pretty much. It's usually around there.
So that Friday or Saturday?
Potentially. On the 4th, apparently.
Good job. Thank you to our graphics department for looking it up for us. Y'all don't see it, but we got graphics.
We got business things now. Like,
we multi-platform now.
It's my first time here. We got a very big graphics department. Very big graphics department.
Like, you gotta love it here. All right. Now to talk about old people and their feelings, because WCW people wilding for whatever reason.
Oh, boy.
Do we start with Five Time or do we start with Speargate?
I'm gonna let Five Time flounder, and we're gonna talk about Speargate for a little bit.
We're gonna talk about Speargate. Okay, like, so boom. So Goldberg wanna go on. All right, because like, I woke up and heard this story on my way to work. I was like, I know you lying.
Oh, yeah, no, bro. I read that story and left it alone. I was like, bro, ain't no way.
So first of all, Goldberg believes there's this invincible vendetta against him by Triple H. All
right, they've been out to get me.
Because
even when I ruined somebody else's title reign, they were out to get me.
Because around the time of Goldberg's return, because he was on the cover of 2K17 or 18.
He was on a cover?
Yeah, Goldberg was, like, that's why we brought him back. He was the cover star of one of the 2K games. Brought him back, like, because that's what led to the little squash match at Survivor Series with Brock, like, all to promote the game.
Dang.
No, the return, like, the full-blown return happened because, you know, money. Like, y'all fell for it. But apparently, when he came back, that's when everyone started adopting the spear into their moveset. Like, people like Charlotte, people like Bobby Lashley, people like Big E. People have been doing this move for years in their career prior to Goldberg not being here.
It's a running tackle, baby.
It's a shoulder tackle.
It's a running shoulder tackle. There ain't really much to it. Like, Hacksaw Jim Duggan had it.
And sometimes he don't like how now it's basically a transition move. But when the King does, like, first of all, I'm going and throw it out. I'm sad. I do care what y'all think, because, like, I love y'all for listening to our podcast. Goldberg is not the King of the Spear. Like, I'm like, and here's why I'm going to throw that. Like, just because you a former defensive lineman doesn't mean you have the best shoulder tackle in the game.
All I'm going to say is the King of the Spear is Moose, and, like, if you don't believe me, your argument wrong. Like, but, yeah, Goldberg is not the King.
It's so many people that can throw a spear better than Goldberg.
I'm giving that award to Moose.
Ricky Starks?
Rhino?
I'm giving that award to Moose, but, like, even still, like I said, like, everybody got their opinions. Y'all's is wrong, but, like, everybody got their, but a big except about Goldberg.
I'm not gonna say the intentional disrespect, because, like, Goldberg from what, Atlanta, so, like,
yeah,
he definitely probably has no idea what Joshi Wrestling is. Like, he probably been over there like a couple times as part of the WCW, but they was in Korea and not Japan.
Like,
call that girl Asuka. Tell us, mom had Asuka beat his undefeated streak. Like, well. Oscar can wrestle.
Let me ask this question, and I was thinking about this when you were saying this. What was his record that he went undefeated?
Goldberg's official WCW record is like, I know it's like 170 something matches.
173-1. Thanks to Kevin Nash.
Like, watch y'all go. How y'all feel about what Goldberg had to say this week?
Nah, that's why we call you Oldberg, bro. You can't be out here saying stuff like this. Like,
can't be out here butchering people's names, especially people that you was canonically in the same company with at the same time.
Y'all, you mean to tell me you ain't brushed past Oscar one time in the locker room? Definitely sat at the catering table, shared and like in the same area, and had a sandwich. Like, bro, chill out. They definitely told you that girl name on numerous occasions for reasons just like this.
For reasons just like this,
you were definitely told that young lady's name. But I digress.
I just feel like a lot of older wrestlers, when that time passed them by, they ain't got nothing to fall back on. And so they just like, I'm just going down this person just because. And
down in Oscar is crazy.
Yeah,
down in
Oscar is diabolical.
Down in one of the two women that have done quite literally everything in the company for a woman to do. Every different kind of match out and put us in, like all the stiff matches. Oscar have done it. Money, Rumble, Chamber.
I'd be Charlotte and Becky Lynch in the TLC match.
But okay.
All right. Also on the Audacity train, like, ooh, y'all knew I'm about to get them.
Oh boy, here we go.
So first of all, it ain't clickbait.
Oh lord,
if it came out your mouth last week, like you up here exaggerating story, like say, ooh, he just been. For those of you wondering why I can't get words out of my mouth, a couple of weeks ago, Booker T claims that him and CM Punk almost got into an altercation while CM Punk was down in NXT, you know, reviewing, because Punk wants to play a hand in the future someday. Like, he's been doing that, like, going down to NXT, training with people, meeting with people. Hey, Sean, what's up? So Booker T gets on his podcast and say that there was almost an altercation, and we're going to leave it at that. Obviously, the wrestling community ain't going to leave it at that. Now we out here trying to figure out what's going on with Booker T versus CM Punk. Here come Booker T coming out Thursday. Man, y'all not just clickbait. I'm just out here to be entertaining. So once again, you full of S word. Like, ooh, you like, this is a PG show. Somebody say something. I'm about to do it.
So, no. Don't do it.
Do it.
Do it is diabolical. But no, he just said, certain people get past this part, a certain point in time, and they gotta throw somebody out there. And
I've been tired of Booker T since he opened his mouth about Naomi a couple years ago.
I mean, hey,
like, I'm so sick of everything.
We still keep putting him in front of the microphone.
I'm so sick of what Oba KB got to say.
His name is Booker T.
These wrestlers, man. And
it's their ego, bro, and they so fragile to let the past be the past. Like, bro, like, Booker T, you are a wrestling coach, you's a wrestling teacher, you's a commentator.
Has a promotion under his name.
Like, what you got a fake feud for? Why you faking a feud against a dude with no arm currently? Like,
you ain't got a lot to kick it, bro. Like
Phil canonically ain't got no arm right now. What you about to buck with him at NXT for? That make you look, man.
But
get Robert Hoffman off my camera.
Oh boy.
It's bad that it's like two former WCW wrestlers back to back.
Back to back.
After we just came off of a
Sting retirement. Now everybody's saucy. Like, who killed WCW? Y'all ego definitely.
Right. You know what? As you say that, I find that it's odd that all this stuff is coming out right after Sting retired. Do you just feel that?
Because Sting was still the golden boy for WCW.
He's
the last positive mark on WCW, and now that he's gone, all right, so boom. So let's really talk about what's going on.
All right, so what really happened was, like, Triple H did this, Shane still can't fight, Vince can't wrestle. and CM Punk and Oscar can't do
I want to watch this video that WrestleTalk put out called Who Killed WCW, because everybody's trying to figure out who really did it. Was it Vince Russo? Was it Eric Bischoff? Kevin Nash said on his podcast it was Jay Leno. Man, I found that to be hilarious.
Jay Leno was wild.
No, he said how he knew he did it. He said Jay Leno had put Diamond Dallas Page and a cross armbar in a match on TV.
Yeah.
Jay Leno did that to DDP. And we supposed to bleed it.
Man.
Kevin Nash said it was that moment right there. All right. It was that moment right there where wrestling was fake and all this didn't matter. All right,
so this week in wrestling.
But I find that they don't call out. They just say random things and they don't call out the true stuff. Like, does this make sense? Or this type of logic. They'll just call out, well, he can't wrestle. I'm like, what? And she can't wrestle. Or something like that. They'll just say something wild out of
Have a match with him. All right, go ahead. Booker T, when CM Punk get that arm back, you go ahead and have this actual fight since y'all had a backstage altercation. Let's see what's really good, buddy.
But ain't he the same one that said, oh, well, if he do come back, it's a great business move for WWE.
Either. And that's why it was a great business move for me to say I fought him.
But before Punk came back, like before they saw him come back, when he first got fired, he's fired with cause. Like, he'd be stupid to bring him back to your company. Booker T don't believe what he be saying. Booker T be full of it. Like, bro, I'm so sick of him. Like, if anybody from WWE can hear this, I'll be y'all new commentator if y'all just get him off TV. Like, I do it. My name is Zach Pierce. Like, I'm here for you. Like, put me next to Vic Joseph. I don't care. Like,
oh boy, can't wait. Gonna be right there behind y'all. Like, gonna be that dude in the camera every time.
Like, cause refuses. To, like, cause Booker T just went online and said he's a liar. Like, I don't want to hear nothing from a liar.
I mean, I still want to hear the ad-libs from the Whoop That Trick and all that.
I got you, cuz I'll bust a freestyle if I got you. Like,
Wade Barrett tried that and Booker T sued him. So, like,
Booker T sued him.
So, like, yeah, no.
Because he broke. But, like,
okay. I don't think so.
I mean, I almost had to sell the promotion. But let's talk about wrestling. We're going to talk about WWE right now. It's still on this road to WrestleMania. Sharp left and whatnot.
Sharp left turn.
Like, because they wrong for their. First of all, cannot wait for the stage reveal. Look forward to that every year. Like, it's going to happen immediately.
It's going to be a big old bell with a video screen in it.
The video screen is going to be the bell.
It's going to be a big old bell with a video screen in it.
Philadelphia ain't got nothing but a bell and a rocket statue, don't it?
Like, I don't know what more you want. We might even have a little bell off to the side. You know, remember that little WWE that used to stay on stage? Like, we might have one of them off to the side.
WWE that used to be on the side of the stage.
I think we got rid of that when the John Cena light started slam dunking. But when, like, Big Show started slam dunking John Cena through the lights, we had to get rid of that.
We got rid of it when we decided the stages don't matter. It just goes a bunch of video screens.
Yeah.
The video ramp, video wall.
And, you know, we got rid of the stage too when people started jumping off it. Like, Big Show was treating folks like bags of ice when he got in matches on that stage.
Y'all remember that skate ramp they had for Raw?
That boy said bags of ice.
Oh boy, like
if Big Show gets you up that ramp, like, that's it. Like, your mission in this match is to now just land down.
Land down.
Like, I almost did it.
Bruh.
Insane.
Bags of ice is crazy.
You tell me what that Big Show chokeslam that he gave John Cena looked like.
But
the light fixture.
But you got to break that down, though. You got to talk to the millennials, because they might not know by going to the store to get a bag of ice.
Well, they got Mr. Ices on the corner. Like, they can buy
They don't
bags.
Go to them.
They what? Like, what y'all get? Like, that means the millennials out here drinking hot drinks and get together. First of all, I'm gonna just have to leave.
No, they don't used to go into the refrigerator and going.
And then if we at the cookout and like y'all ain't got no ice for y'all drinks and y'all got something to go in the house, just get it off the floor. I'm leaving your cookout. Like,
it's a bag right there. Like,
put this ice in the goddamn cooler. Like,
how you do it?
What? Like, what?
Mm-mm.
You youngins.
Back to wrestling.
All right, let's hop into WWE, starting with the flagship Monday Night Raw. We're going out tonight.
Longest reigning.
And Jey Uso opens the show, just basically calling out Jimmy. Just like, get out here,
just
bro.
Just me, Uso, until I call out my other Uso and we, Uso.
But yeah, Jay admits that he misses Jimmy, miss riding with him, miss tagging with him. Like it was supposed, like it was them together last year. Now it's them versus each other. And Jimmy pretty much just tried to rewrite history because no, bro. Like
I mean,
like Jimmy said, like he's like Jimmy claims he's protecting Jay. He been protecting Jay. Like it was Jay's idea for him to lead the bloodline. Nah, like you kicked Roman dead in the head at Night of Champions.
You kicked Roman in the head because that was apparently something that you were doing for me. So.
I got you. I told you. And that week I said, I told you. Said, I you got you. And
after saying you got me, you then kicked him again.
Like Jimmy said, like Jimmy even goes as far as saying that the biggest moment of Jay's career is because of him. When Jay responds by saying, nah, bruh, biggest moment of my career is when I knocked the heat out of you. Like, verbatim, he said out your ad, but like, we on PG time.
So, I mean, you said it, so like.
Hooray. Like, knock the heat out of you. Obviously, the brawl ensues because Solo was obviously in the back not doing nothing, waiting on his cue.
I mean, in full gear with the table.
He was in the hoodie at the time, the hoodie and the jean.
So he be in the hoodie when he's trying to help everybody else. But he be trying to do Roman match.
He shows up in these Roman matches.
He gonna show up to that tag team match in full gear. And ain't gonna have nothing else to do that night or night two. And it's gonna be.
I said, he gonna win the Andres, whatever.
I mean, if he don't do that, like, send him back to NXT. Let him start.
Like, if he don't win the Andre, if we do an Andre, if he don't win the Andre, send him back to NXT.
Send him back to NXT, let him start talking again, give him the NXT, get him North American. Like, just let's go.
But yeah, the brawl ensues. Obviously, Cody comes out and makes the save, kind of, sort of, because, you know, like, we can't jump Cody, especially not Black Suit Cody. We're going to get into Black Suit Cody later. But, yeah, now we, like, for the third time in WrestleMania, we got brother versus brother. It started with Brett and Owen, continued with Matt and Jeff. Now we getting Jimmy and Jay.
The other two had a lot more behind them, but, like, it's okay.
Like, those other two feuds had a lot more behind them.
It's all right, though.
It's still going to be a good match. Like, is it going to be WrestleMania worthy? But is it going to be a good match regardless? Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, it's been a year-long story, so I don't feel like it should be no. I mean, it depends on where you put it on the card, too.
This definitely has to be night one. This is a night one thing.
You can't just have a bunch of stuff happening. Yeah, because
I got to be free to help him. Got to be free to help Roman night two. Like,
and at the end of night one.
Yeah. Like, you got to get it out of the way about the middle of night one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got a point.
All right, speaking of WrestleMania, we have a qualifying match for the WrestleMania Tag Team Ladder Match.
Like I said, bro, that Hardy Boy music finna bang.
Bro, hold up.
That Hardy Boy music finna bang.
We are not pulling a 33.
We are not pulling
a 33.
They are
two,
bro.
Okay.
Don't do it.
But okay. Matt contract is when it expired, though. Jeff isn't, but Matt is.
I feel like, well, that's a whole nother story. I feel like he can get the, but this is the thing. Like, do you really want to see?
Absolutely not. But like, okay, but all right,
like, no more discussion.
I don't want to see it. It's gonna happen. Like, I don't want to see a lot of things on WWE that happen. Like, cause tell me why Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler in the tag team.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Like, did you want to see that? My point proven. But back to this WrestleMania.
We're back to this WrestleMania qualifying match as DIY took on the Creed Brothers. First of all, Creed Brothers got new trash music. Like, I'm just going to throw that out there. It's trash. It's boo-boo. It sucks. Like, they got little torches on their singles now. Like, apparently they did Olympics. Like,
yeah. They did the same thing to Ivy now. Have you seen her little trolling with the actual Ivy, like, you know, spinning around?
No.
Uh-huh.
Hey, man.
Like.
Hey, that's like, I'll be honest. I've heard of them when that was like my first time watching them wrestle. I was like, yeah,
they can put on a tag team clinic if they just get the dude. Oh, boy,
first of all, this was a free TV match.
I'm like
DIY and the Creeds just went out there and wrestled on TV. Like, let's not take that for granted. And I didn't, because I watched it in its entirety. First of all, it's going to happen because they break everybody up. But, like, give Julius and Brutus the tag titles. Like, even if spoiler, they didn't win this match because, like, obviously Regeneration X have a storyline going into this match.
Yeah.
But
so you don't think they should put it on DIY?
DIY is getting the titles when we split them.
DIY is definitely gonna get a set of belts when we split them. But like I said, and it's gonna, like I said, this we'll find out later in the show why what I say is true. Like, this is a one man story that has been told since November that has to pay off at WrestleMania.
Has to.
That has to, because if it doesn't, like, TV time be damned. Like, and I love my guy, but if this doesn't pay off with him accidentally climbing a ladder and getting it, because first of all, there's still the canonic fear of heights. Like, if you know about the character development, that man still has the canonic fear of heights. But we're jumping ahead. DIY and the Creed Brothers had a tremendous tag team contest. And now, once again, DIY find themselves in Philly in a tag team title ladder match together. They won. They defeated the Creed to qualify to WrestleMania. Last time DIY was in Finland, had a tag team match. Didn't go so well. Tommaso Ciampa tore his ACL and nothing else happened. Absolutely nothing. According to Johnny and Tommaso Ciampa, nothing else happened after Tommaso Ciampa tore his ACL in that ladder match. Absolutely nothing. So, like,
I mean,
this is their night. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so nothing happened because a couple screens went to black. But, like, mainly the light screen under the NXT sign. But, like, but yeah, nothing else happened. Nothing else happened. Oh, I just tore my ACL. Me and my best friend stayed best friends forever.
No one will
survive this friendship.
This is their, first of all, this is their first time in 10 years of being in WWE, going to WrestleMania. Like, 10 years on the roster period, even though they spent most of that time in NXT. 10 years in the company at their first WrestleMania, their second tag team ladder match in Philadelphia. Good on them, do-it-yourself boys. Like,
boy,
do it.
I hope they don't lose.
I hope they don't lose.
Because nothing else is going to happen. But I hope they don't lose. I'm rooting for them.
Like, cannot wait.
Can see the back of Johnny head now.
Can see the back of Johnny head now.
Oh, boy. Tommaso palming that thing like a basketball.
Nothing happened.
Yep, he just helped him backstage through a screen. But, like,
Andrade is seen backstage with the Judgment Day, ready to talk business with Mommy whenever she's ready. I'm definitely about to just buy Dominic off of them. Andrade is not going to join Judgment Day. Andrade is going to buy Dominic and make his own Leon Facion, Diego Noble, like WWE style. Like, we're going to merge Legado and LW. I'm just going to, like, run all the luchadors and Mexicans. Like, it's going to be great.
Bruh. I am not giving you the Spanish super faction, like, at all.
It's going to be so good.
I'm not giving you the Spanish super faction.
It's so, like, many. Like,
see? It's already 2 6-mans.
So we're going to just come
out. It's already 2 6-mans.
I was watching. I was like, they got the Colombian drug lord.
Like, boy. My guy. We got LWO plus Carlito. We got Legado. We got Andrade, Damien, and Dom.
That's a lot.
It's going to be so good.
Like, it's 10 folk, baby. No.
And we gonna bang, like.
No. Man. Leave these folk with the editing stories. Like.
Yeah, speaking of Damien, he scolds JD McDonough for, like, losing to Ricochet in the first round of the Gauntlet last week. And says that, you know, Dominic's gonna go handle Ricochet because you can't. We later find out that Dominic Mysterio can't either.
I mean, but, like, I'm Ricochet, baby. Like, don't let what I don't do in WWE fool you.
Not only did Ricochet win that match later, he to escape attack from JD McDonough, I did a backflip off him. Like, did a kickflip off of that man's chest out the ring, like, like,
one and only. What?
Like, so damn athletic.
Man. One and only. Don't let what I don't do in a WWE fool you.
So small little Ricochet TV push, like, again, like,
hey, bro.
Like, it's 6 month, like, Ricochet's bi-monthly, 6 week push.
Hey man, bro, it's WrestleMania season. Everybody got to scratch, claw, and grab.
He don't even care no more. That man won in life. You see his wife, man.
They just engaged until, you know, yeah, like,
he won in life.
No. I was gonna do it
next.
Candace LeRae continues whatever this little boo boo heel turn is.
Why you mad for, huh?
Like, as the way took on Katana Chance and Caden Carter in the match, It looked like Katana had injured her leg, and Candice, you know, immediately tagged in, squashed her leg against that ring post, and tapped out with the mad T. There you go, little heel hook. Like, okay. But yeah, Candice the right turner heel for whatever. Like,
I'm mad we're losing. I mean, we mad we got to watch you, but like, here we are.
That woman competed against Kevin Owens
and peaked then.
She wasn't here for that.
Mm-hmm.
She peaked the War Games. Like,
she peaked too on folks. Definitely peaked. Definitely peaked when me and Rhea Ripley won a 2-on-4 War Games match. Like, outside of that, like, nah, baby. And I mean, we get it. Like, everybody back there mad they don't get TV time, but they don't give you excuses to, like, you know, just throw a mistreating folk. Like, are you going back to the Poison Pixie after you left the Poison Pixie? Like, the music's still the same. Okay.
No, they got new look. They remixed like the Way music with her Pixie music for whatever reason, and it's
okay.
Stupid.
Okay, cool. So we can
so trash music number two of the week. Like,
so I'm just gonna go back to the Poison Pixie.
I'm gonna tell the graphics department to put a trash can in there for trash, like a little trash can, a little dumpster, like something like that.
So she going back to the Poison Pixie. It's whatever. I don't want to watch that.
And next we have the segment of the night.
This is what happened when we get women's a chance. Like,
that sounded mad, Muslim of you, but like, let me not say that. Cut that. Like, take notes of that. Cut what the last couple things me and Carl said. Appreciate
you.
Cut
that thing you just said. What I said was great. What you like, said was wild.
He tried to down.
But like, the segment of the night
is Black Suit Cody coming out on The Rock. And like, first of all, like, there is already complaints backstage, like, about Rock being able to say what he wants to say while everybody else has to abide by the PG schedule. Mm-hmm. Well, they let Cody rip one loose this week.
I know your mom.
Like, first of all, says that Rock is not a heel. Like, Dewey is just, and I quote, an asshole. Like, he is not
that's
a heel.
Cody can say it, don't mean.
He is not a heel like Bobby the Brain Heenan. He's not a heel like some of these other people. Because first of all, like, and he right, because the people still love The Rock. Like, we're still cheering for him. Like, the whole Rock concert in Memphis last week, he was face. I told Memphis, I'm going to trash y'all nothing. So, yeah, we do love The Rock. So, Cody has a point. He's not a heel. He's just an asshole. Like, especially going on social media, cutting 30-minute promos. Like, first of all, who got time for that?
Man, I ain't watching
I ain't watching all that.
I'm happy for you, though, or sorry that happened.
Man. I got a lot to say. Mm.
Go ahead. Like, that's what you have for. Come on.
Bruh, like, and this just me. I just pay attention to a lot of stuff. Cody looked so strong on Monday going into the cool. He said what he had to say. You're like, oh, he got his get back. Cool.
Got him a little get back on it.
But all that to what happened on Friday was like.
Compared to the. That's because Friday didn't have nothing to do with The Rock. When we get into that, because I rewatched it. Like, Friday had nothing to do with The Rock. Friday was more about night two than it is about night one. Cody's response here was directly on The Rock, especially the transition from Big Dwayne energy to Lil Dick Syndrome. Like, that was, like, because The Rock came out and quoted his child movie when saying he's going to give my mama a bloody belt. Like, quoted his little Disney movie when he said that. What can I say? It's up. You're welcome.
I'm dead.
Like, quoted his little Disney movie.
Yeah, quoted that.
Quoted his little Disney movie when he said he's going to give my mama a weight belt with my blood on it. So, y'all talking about how you got a baby. Like, what the f- is, like, oh,
man.
I don't sir, know what sir, else
sir,
to.
Sir, once again, just because The Rock can say it.
And then like, people really thought he was going to eat when he said, I know your mom. Like, you heard it in all this. Like, you want to talk about my mom. I know your mama.
You'd have done it now.
He did it. Like, he treated The Rock mama with respect, as you should. Like, as you should with anybody's mama. Because, like,
that's a lady.
Because anybody's mama is a lady, so I'm at your neck.
That's a lady.
But my thing is this, though. Like, okay. This whole entire conundrum. That's a big word.
conundrum. All right.
Okay, it's the end goal. This is me.
Mm-hmm.
The end goal is everybody want to see Cody finish this story, right?
as we heard that so many times.
And yeah, Damian, that's and Damian Priest,
it's ingrained in our DNA.
It's ingrained in our DNA. I'm already stuck to my WrestleMania night to win the
And Damian Priest immediately.
So that's the main thing. So at the end of this story, he wins. What next?
Oh, baby, let me tell you what's going to happen next. I don't know if you heard. Like, if you haven't been listening to Nerds Watching Wrestling, I'm going to be very long. Like, it's going to hurt y'all hard when that little copyright graphic come up and that Judgment Day music play off that stage. Because, baby, all we have to do, the end goal is to beat Roman for the belt. You're going to do that. You are then immediately going to lose that belt in a Money in the Bank cash match.
Because I bet you
five. Because I'm not going to pull Seth Rollins and do it in y'all match. We're going to let Cody win. We're going to give y'all that.
And then we're going to
snatch it off your hands.
Because I bet you $5 in a sack of peaches, Cody get injured. $5 in a sack of peaches, Cody getting injured in that Mania match.
Not even injured. Whether it's bloodline rules or not, and The Rock already said, I promise that Cody's not going to leave with that title. If that means just coming out after that match, hitting the rock bottom, and then telling Damian to come out here and south to heaven, that's what's going to happen. Damian, like, for all y'all wondering about this briefcase, I'm going to go ahead and hurt all your feelings again. It's happening at Mania, and it's happening to Cody.
So
it's not going to happen to Drew himself. It's going to happen to Cody.
But this is what I'm saying, though, like, This is the goal, the end game. This is a story that we've been captivated by for a year?
And we're immediately gonna give you the ending, then close that book and burn it and start and give you a new story.
But you know it's gonna be people that like the ending, it's gonna be people like, what the heck? What's going on?
What this is gonna do is this is gonna immediately make Damian Priest the new big heel. Cause once Roman loses the belt, he's gone.
But the thing after that, that's why I'm like, okay. Cody wins. What's next for Roman? Him and Rock gonna feud?
Yes. We still gotta get this one-on-one match.
I'm saying.
Man, we don't need the title for that.
Cody already dropped the seeds off for it. Cody already said who's the real tribal chief and like tribal chief versus high chief. That's it.
That's definitely the SummerSlam direction.
That's your SummerSlam money right there. Tribal chief versus high chief.
But I feel like, and this is just my opinion, just from what I'm seeing, I feel like at The Rock is probably the biggest thing, and he getting put up on a pedestal. Everybody else is kind of like, I'm just giving them scraps. That's just my, because he doing all the talking, he doing all the jabs, he getting all the media coverage, all this stuff. Everybody else is kind of like, okay, I get in while I fit in. Like, Seth Rollins' belt has been diminished to a paper cup at this point, because he down that belt, and you like, God.
And because Seth is so involved in this story, like I said,
like Drew said, bro.
I said, the fact that my match, the fact that Drew's match is taking place on night two after Seth has to do this tag team match, if you really care about your belt, like you say you do, and you don't see me as a threat, night one me, give me my title match before your little goofy tag match. Open Mania with my match.
Especially because it's going to get overshadowed by Roman's match.
Both going on night two.
Seth who?
Because that just already told us that now both world title matches are on night two. So now the only thing worth watching on night one is the tag match. So now everybody else's match on night one just got made irrelevant. Bayley is definitely on night one, and it hurts my heart.
I bet you Bayley night one.
But at that rate, that means Rhea and Becky got to be at night one, because we already got Seth and Roman on night two.
Put night two. Bit money.
First of all, they put just the one women's world title on night one. I'm leaving. I'm taking my WWE Women's Championship and taking it to the Knockouts division or something.
Baby, I bet you money. Big time Bix is getting night two.
And that's why I also said in lieu of y'all little triple threat, just give us the tag title match.
No, you get sick.
First of all, that implies that we're gonna make Dakota Kai wrestling
We're getting ahead of ourselves. I hear mentioning six mains. We ain't even talking about that.
We didn't talk about it yet. We were still on Cody. Paul Heyman comes out after Cody's done dealing with The Rock and tells Cody that the face to face between him and Roman will be bloodline free. And that Cody must also come along. Jey Uso and Seth Rollins hear that. They be like, okay, wink, comma. You know how that go.
Okay, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. No bloodline, solo, cold thumb in my throat right now, ain't it? Right now.
Sami Zayn runs into Chad Gable backstage, Chad Gable is not having it because he obviously wanted this match against Gunther.
So did everybody. Hashtag we want Chad.
So Sammy like, bro, what's up? Chad Gable says like, bro, you can't beat Gunther. And just walks off.
No, it wasn't about you. You can't beat Gunther. Walks off.
Like, walks off. And then we had the contract signing. Well, Gunther is like, yeah, you can't beat me, bro. Call do whatever boom. You got to do. Call like, do whatever boom. You got to do to prep yourself up.
Let the record show that Gunther gave you a callback to what I said about how Imperium came out to the street fight. You saw Sami Kayn dressed to that contract signing, and Gunther immediately dragged him forward and said, like, hey, bro, like, this is a very important moment. You dirty, ain't it?
dirty, ain't it, bro? Filth, ain't it, bro?
Like, I then like, bro, we do this.
After the contract signing, Sami Zayn goes back and finds Chad Gable and says, like, what do you mean I can't beat him? And Chad tells him straight up, like, bro, you the underdog. Like, you used to finding a way out when someone gives you an opportunity and you just take it. Gunther does not give people opportunities. There's going to be nothing for you to take.
My brother said, baby, like, I might have beaten Gunther, but that was count out victory, baby. Like,
Chad Gable beat Gunther by count out.
Like, that was the opportunity, and that was at 9. I beat Gunther by count out at 9. Had it been any number above that, no, sir. That would have been in that ring, would have chopped me in my chest, would have powerbombed me, splashed me, and then would have counted 1, 2, 3. And that's what Chad told him.
I'm saying in another WrestleMania tag team qualifying match, the Awesome Truth beat In the Share after basically they hit their finisher on Veer. Then
hold on, baby. Hold on, real quick. This is you talking a little too fast. You said Awesome Truth beat In the Share.
Yeah,
that was you played that on a game, didn't it?
Nah,
that was
two, on
no
wrong.
Nah, baby, that was on 2K23. It's all right though. Like you definitely played that on 2K23. Like Paul Levesque did not put that.
Okay. They had their tag team entrance and all remix, all that. Like, yeah. Told you this story ends one way. When R-Truth winning these tag titles,
if the next sound you hear is very loud feedback, I have thrown these headphones down and quit the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Just letting y'all know.
Like I told you, like this story with Judgment Day ends one way, and it's with R-Truth holding them tag titles.
It has to, because if it don't, it's just a 24/7 title run with no 24/7 title.
With no 24/7 title.
We done gave you fake money, real merch, like.
CM Punk says he's going back to Chicago next week. We're going to see him on Raw Monday. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Drew McIntyre tries to make his entrance, but is immediately interrupted by Seth Rollins. They redid the LA Knight Roman Reigns thing. Like, I'm walking down. Seth Rollins comes out from behind me. Like, steals my whole entrance. Seth Rollins then proceeds to steal Eddie Guerrero's entire junkie promo that he cut against Brock Lesnar in 2004 before No Way Out. Like, because Drew says that Seth is a joke. Seth says, I'm not a joke. I am a spotlight junkie, and I am an addict. And like I said, and then proceeds to steal Eddie Guerrero's entire 2004 No Way Out promo.
I mean, hey, bro, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. A hefty fraction of the people in that ring probably don't know that was real. So it was new to them.
But then Drew says that he's gonna get the moment that he has earned. Seth says it's gonna hurt real bad when you realize you're not as good as you think you are.
Oh,
like
okay,
well,
promo's eating this week.
In our third WrestleMania qualifying tag team match,
okay, I guess. But
the
like,
New Day took on Alpha Academy's Otis and Akira Tozawa. New Day going to WrestleMania.
Was anybody wondering? Like, if you were questioning, if you had thoughts, like. If you really thought the team of Otis and Akira Tozawa, y'all don't watch wrestling, but obviously knew they going to WrestleMania.
And in the main event, Nia Jax took on Becky Lynch in a beautiful last woman standing match. Like, oh boy,
that doubling off that ladder.
Broke that girl.
Nia Jax still one of my favorite women's wrestlers today.
Love, like, first of all, love Curly Hill. Like, love Curly Hill, Nia Jax.
Love Nia Jax as a whole. Like, congrats on this return run in general, because like they was dogging you when you was back there. Glad you're doing good, mama.
But yeah, Becky Lynch putting herself in another high-stakes situation mere weeks before she has to face Mommy for the world title at WrestleMania.
And Becky Lynch getting the main event. All right, back on this Becky Lynch battle. I was like, I didn't do anything with it. Okay, Becky, you got a main event match, girl. Like, okay.
Against the Dominator.
I'm like, this past year has been awful for me. I haven't done much. Okay, Becky.
But yeah, Becky came out with the dub, like beating the count of 10 after she hit that massive leg drop off the ladder through the announce table, breaking the good back line.
Nia Jax injured, but she ain't gonna tell nobody. It's all right.
And after the match, Rhea Ripley came down to have a stare down with Becky in the ring to close the show. Because, you know, WrestleMania, Mommy is going to be on top of the man.
Got to look at you.
Like, dog, you look hurt. Hope you're ready for WrestleMania. My God. Hope you're ready for this squash. Like,
hey, boy, this Riptide going to hurt.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that was Monday night's. Thoughts, questions, concerns?
I give it a solid 6.
And these promos, Ace, I'm giving it an 8. Like, these promos yeah, were eating. Like, these promos were eating.
With the promos, I give it an 8. Cam, rating?
Mr. Vegan?
I'll give it about a 7. I'll give it a 7.
Like I said, because some of the matches were nothing, but these promos, 8.
They do that sometimes. You'd be like, oh, it's a good show. And then they just put on random matches. You're like, what?
Like I said, End of Share versus Awesome Truth is like 3 minutes.
Of course it is.
And this way match didn't have to happen.
The way match didn't have to happen.
So like I said, like your highlight matches were the Last Woman Standing and the DIY Creed match. Yeah, promo's 8 now. Are you ready for some SmackDown?
with that intro, I never will be. Absolutely not. You could have kept that one, baby. You could have kept that.
Anyway, so SmackDown was a pretty straightforward show, a little simple, sweet. Opened with Rey Mysterio taking on Santos Escobar in the Lucha match, Rey Mysterio's return match from his knee injury that he suffered back in, what, October? October. Yeah, because No Mercy. September.
September, yeah.
Like, suffered an injury in September, made his TV return 2 weeks ago, but now made his in-ring return against Santos. They was having a pretty good match, but then, you know, the past got a rear its ugly head.
You mean when Rey Mysterio interfered in the Rey Mysterio match?
Bro, it was like way bigger. It's on my last nerve.
Rey Mysterio interfered in his own match.
Like, yes, like, Dominic Mysterio came out and cost his daddy a match.
Because I don't like him.
And that's your only reason, then why aren't you here?
I don't like him.
Like, you ain't even got a tag title, so you can't even be over here legally.
Okay. The quarterly superstar brand invitational.
At any given time,
three superstars from one show or three superstars from another show.
I am not for the wild card rule.
Can exchange positions and go to the other shows.
That is such a trash.
This has been your notes again on the quarterly superstar brand invitational.
That was trash. Like, the wild card rule is trash.
But no, even they even got interviewed backstage. Santosh said that Damian is not, well, not Damian.
Dominic.
Dom is not in any of the groups. They just have a common enemy, Rey
Mysterio.
And I just don't like him, bro. Like, so no, even if I'm on Raw, you on SmackDown, you can't win matches. Like, no.
All right, Jimmy.
Oh, boy.
In a WrestleMania ladder match qualifier tournament match, because Adam Pearce ain't just going to give y'all a one and done. Like, Adam Pearce got to make this thing complicated.
Why?
Not Adam Pearce, Nick. I was going to make this thing complicated. You want to go to WrestleMania, you got to win more than one match. Okay, in bracket okay. B of the tournament.
Bracket B of a tournament for a qualifier is wild.
The OC took on Grayson Waller and Austin Theory.
You mean NXT's,
none of these teams deserve to be in the match with us.
NXT's the OC?
Yeah.
Like NXT?
The same people who are already going. Ain't they already going to Stand and Deliver?
Yes.
So that's how you know they lost their match. Like, what? They're
actively going to Stand and Deliver.
Like, y'all don't get 2 tag title matches in 1 weekend. Y'all don't do that.
I mean, we could.
But yeah, Theory and Waller won with a roll up, legs on the rope, hold legs on the rope assist. Cause you know Luke Gallows tall.
I said, hey, that's big LG, baby. Like, can still just kick at.
Ahead of her match with Naomi, literally during the entrance is diabolic.
Oh, yeah. During her entrance.
Yeah. Like we're waiting on Io Shirai's entrance for her match against Naomi. We cut backstage. Io Shirai's just dog walking it's Bayley. Just
dog walking like
Bayley. Passed Bayley in the hallway and just ran
up. And just said, nah, I don't like you like that no more. Like, I never liked you like that. Like, I told you it's on site. Like, oh, see, I see you, don't it?
I see you, don't it?
It's on site, right, gang? Like, boy, like, during her entrance.
It's on site?
Like, it's on site because, like, Dakota, Kairi, and Asuka are on the ramp. Io Titan trying to play a music blaring. Cause immediately backstage, EO just out there mobbing on this.
Just dog walking Bayley.
Like, girl, go out there and face Naomi.
I mean, eventually did, like.
And they had a good match too. Like thankfully the wrong Bloodline segment wasn't 50 minutes long, so Naomi could have a decent TV match.
Like, so bad. Bloodline didn't have 55 minutes of TV time.
Like,
of their allotted 43 minutes of TV time. Like,
so Naomi,
we actually got women's matches tonight.
Like Naomi and Bayley was actually able to put on Naomi and Io was actually able to put on a match. I mean, Io obviously won because numbers game, and then we
the numbers up. Game that Bianca would warn Naomi about prior to their match, citing Bayley as you know the source of all this. Saying, "Well, you weren't so oh yeah, because Bayley caught Naomi backstage. Hey, I'm sorry you got involved. It's not how it was supposed to be." And then you know. Bianca went heel for a little minute, started popping the ears, like almost took earrings off. So you weren't sorry then, but you sorry now.
Because Bianca tried to come say Naomi and also got dog walked.
And also got dog walked, which will have us, which a match next week with Naomi and Dakota Kai.
We learned that Jade Cargill has officially signed to SmackDown.
I'm so glad you said that immediately after that Naomi and Dakota Kai match because I'm like I need y'all people to know that that's how we getting this six woman tag at WrestleMania because obviously Naomi obviously Bianca Belair beats Dakota Kai on paper but like it's four of us and one of you.
Like I said, shout out to Nick Aldis for winning these signings. So, like Nick Aldis is winning when it comes to the call up. Like because I got Carmelo Hayes, I got Braun Breaker, I got Tiffany Stratton, I got Naomi, I got Jade Cargill.
Out here doing it.
I win. Like me. I did it.
He does because anybody else. He does because anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, he got it.
In another WrestleMania qualifier tournament match,
Jesus.
The Street Profits of the Pride took on the Authors of Pain of the Final Testament because everybody in a faction war for whatever reason on SmackDown. Like it's
you
just
said a lot, you just said a lot of words this day. You said a lot of words. And another WrestleMania qualifying tournament match, the Street Profits of the Pride took on the Authors of Pain of the Final Testament. Like, nah, next segment. That was
who you think won? But why you said next segment, who you think won?
The team with the longest name. Lost. But
who do you think won?
I give it to the Pride.
The Profits. The Profits did indeed win. They want the smoke.
The Street
so,
Profits.
So of now
the
Pride. I want to say the Pride will take on Legato and Theory and Waller will take on No Catch Crew or New Catch Republic.
The No Catch Republic.
Or No Court Catch Crew.
Or Catch Me If You Can or whatever.
Or an Undisputed Kingdom.
Not even that show.
Like Speedball Mustache Round. What's
I'm dead.
Like, he shots, I don't know
all these names, bro. Because we got the No Quarter Catch Crew and the New Catch Republic. That one is them the boys.
Like, British Strong Style works still. Whatever.
Apparently without Trent Seven, we can't be BSSR. So, like...
LA Knight rolls up to Gainesville, Georgia.
Yeah, if you believe it, like
they play the cop cops at Gainesville.
Maybe like if you believe it, like
this is Gainesville, you gonna learn. Take him to jail.
It's Gainesville with these unmarked, undisclosed cop cars. Like that just said no, police.
It said Gainesville police.
His wife was in the back, like get over him.
Wendy was, and they so country. Man, he had a little hell up.
Right, bro, had a hell of a little man bun and all that.
AJ Styles, what you doing, bro?
Getting buff is what he doing. Like, somebody said AJ look like he ate AJ. He's strong, bro. Oof. If you leave WWE and come back, you get muscles.
That was a nice house, by the way. He has some good grass.
As LA Knight is getting arrested, you know, go get booked in process, say that will be a man down here. We like, bro, will you you on the jail in Gainesville, Georgia, boy, you ain't getting out
He pulled up to Georgia, right?
Gainesville, Georgia.
I bet they was like, what's going on over there?
Sure, those cops over there at old Allen's house. Like, sure, everything's all right.
Be quiet, woman, I'm watching the dogs.
Get back in here, Josephine. Get your butt in here, Josephine. Don't be doing over there.
Earl, they're wrestling outside. We live next to a wrestler, Cheryl. Get back in the house.
Oh, boy. By the way, one of them kids would have came out.
Hey.
Get out my dad.
Would have just started throwing that. Can you imagine all these kids just leaping off with phenomenal forearms on LA?
See, my mind.
Let's rule.
One of my mind tells me that all that was filmed, and he was like, hey, come on in the house and get something to eat.
Immediately after.
Ran down on the cobbler.
Send them cops on their way with $100 each, just and LA Knight stayed at his house that night.
He wants something to eat. You want something to eat?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And in the main event segment of SmackDown, Roman and Cody had their face to face, which basically come down to, you trust Seth Rollins? That's crazy.
You trust The Rock? That's wild.
And you trust Seth Rollins? That's crazy. You trust The Rock? That's wilder.
And that was it.
That's the best way it could be summed up.
Look for heel turns on both sides of these teams. Turns on both sides of these teams.
Apparently. I did find the end of the face to face dynamic to be hard. Cause like they said, Roman called Seth his little brother, cause you know Shield things, tag team champions together, all that.
I sunned you, dude. But like,
and then like, so now like with Cody in the ring, Seth come from one side, then from the other side, you see Jay, you know, like right hand man, main event,
Jay, yeet,
like, and they teamed up with. And they side by side with the man who very first beat not only me but first beat us. Like Cody said, I'm like, I remember the Shield very well. Y'all remember the first ones to beat y'all? I give you a hint. Their last name was Rhodes.
Was out there.
Roman to just look at that. Like the man that first beat me, the man that stabbed me in my back, and my literal family. And Rock ain't nowhere to be found. All I got is Solo and Let Jimmy.
I got Solo who hadn't touched a match since John Cena, and I got Jimmy, the man who canonically kicked me in my face and stole my best brother.
Like I said, Jimmy can't rewrite history, bro. This is still all your fault. The fact that you back in the bloodline says a lot. You Naomi husband,
I be thinking about the most random stuff when they do this stuff. So if you notice what Jimmy Uso had on, right? He had like a red vest, red pants, red shirt.
Beat up, yeah.
Seth Rollins had the same thing on, but with no shirt.
That's crazy, because Seth Rollins did just pull out of a black hoodie and then was literally wearing all red.
No shirt. I'm like,
with no shirt. With his blonde hair in a bun.
I was like, don't nobody notice this but me. He ain't got no shirt on. It's the same outfit.
Jimmy wearing a bubble vest.
Seth wearing
a vest, but Jimmy wearing a bubble vest. Jimmy wearing big hood shorty.
It was the more zesty version.
Seth got his jump from San Francisco while Jimmy got his from Compton.
Jimmy out here in FUBU, baby.
Jimmy out here in FUBU. Why? But yeah, like I said, pretty short and sweet episode of SmackDown.
Little smackers.
I'll give that a 6 because ain't nothing happened.
6.
Long promo. That was good. Long promo. For sure.
But any thoughts coming out of WrestleMania on the road to WrestleMania, any thoughts coming out of Raw and SmackDown, gentlemen? Like anything don't make sense to y'all, anything y'all want to elaborate on?
Waiting for this road to get a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, like so, like we right now, like this is that long stretch of land that you just drive through where ain't number like an exit every 15 miles.
From Montgomery to Mobile.
From Montgomery to Mobile is the right one. Cause boy, it ain't no exits once you leave Montgomery.
Once you get past Evergreen from smelling god dang what them sausages is, the Kondeka sausages, you pretty much a long ride down, buddy.
Like, bruh. So we's on the 65 south of the road to WrestleMania.
Like, yeah, I'll take that.
So we're gonna run over and see what they got going over on Turner Broadcasting, what they got coming out of Jacksonville, because it's Wednesday. You know what that means. We ain't got no collision, so we're just going to run through Dynamite and Rampage.
Because, you know, Rampage happened immediately after Dynamite.
Like, we got a three-hour AEW day.
Sheesh.
Making it real simple for us. Like, so we can cover this and get out of here. All right, so let's jump into Tony Khan's promotions, AEW Dynamite, and we start with the highest paid woman in professional wrestling.
CEO.
I listen to that music every day. I am definitely
responsible. Oh, how many streams
the song already got? 290 plus. 290K plus.
And you ran it up, didn't you?
I did. I definitely did.
Because I ain't got Spotify.
I got Apple Music.
Them the Spotify numbers they said.
That boy was at work listening to it. Like, yes, absolutely.
I mean, I done played it a couple times at work.
It's literally the second song of my searches. It's right there.
Heaven's to Virgil. Heaven's to Virgil. They gave me a bigger check.
I hurt my heel. Never skipped a step. We can go on, but we got a podcast to do. It is right there, bro. Like, it's a sauce banger. Like, love that woman. Love that woman so much.
But yes, we's in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and Mercedes Moné opens up with a video package explaining who she is. Cause like in I talked last week, like in case you haven't been paying attention a lot over the last 2 years. So she shows her highlights in New Japan, and you know, shows the match where she lost her ankle to Willow.
I hate it for her.
And says that she is here for a global revolution. Insert her little cute catchphrase here. I forgot how it went, but it was a little rhymy and cute or whatever. Arena goes to black, and Julia Hart and Sky Blue is ready to gang up.
Ready to run roughshod on that woman. Y'all leave her alone.
I was like, before Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander come out and make the save, in the midst of the save, it looks like Willow, you know, holding that chair a little too high towards Mercedes Moné back. You feel
until
me?
She turns around and she drops it. Like Willow.
Causing Mercedes Moné just, you know, to walk out the ring like, oh, really? That's what we on?
She turned to heel. She gonna turn heel. It's
this might be a delayed plug pull on her lining up with Julia and Sky. She was wearing black.
Okay, but we cut backstage to where Mercedes Moné introduces herself to Chris Statlander and thanks her for having Willow. Like, thanks for helping her with Chris. Thanks Moné for having Willow's back. Willow tries to apologize to Moné before Moné just you've done enough
and walks off.
Ignoring Stokely Hathaway was the best part of that thing.
And Stokely would then remind Willow that she is the reason Mercedes had to take some time off.
Hey, bro, the girl ACL in that New Japan Strong match. We then have our first match of the night as Kazuchika Okada took on Eddie Kingston for the AEW Continental Crown Championship. Not the three belts, just specifically that one belt. Eddie Kingston still is in possession of the NJPW Strong and Ring of Honor World Championships.
Yeah, them ain't been busy.
However, this was a match for Eddie to see if he had what it takes to stand up against the best that Japan had to offer, the Rainmaker, new elite member. The answer is no.
Sadly, he did not. So far, the answer is, Eddie and Bay, we love you, but you don't make it rain. That man right there is the man to do it.
Yes, sir. Kazuchika Okada did come away with the victory. He is now the new AEW Continental Crown Champion.
A month into my
debut, I've only had three matches. I'm already a champion. Is this way too early?
No.
No?
Is the answer no just because it's Okada?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know what more you want, baby. Like,
okay.
That is kind of like, we're here.
It looked like Cam was going to do something, but say something, but then I looked at him, and all I saw was Okada.
That's Chica Okada, baby. Like,
hear us out.
Come on.
Okada is a name, right?
The biggest from New Japan.
Okay. He with the Young Bucks, which they healed is they leaning into the EVP role.
Like, they were also the producers of that match. Like, they kept doing the backstage because that shit was funny.
But this one, I'm...
like, you saw they kept doing the backstage, or, like, during the match, like, Tony Khan just sitting over there and looking at him.
That was funny. But I'm saying, like, Eddie didn't did so much. He didn't handle all these matches. It's time for him to be like, okay, let me pass this belt off to somebody else. Now, Okada can be like, oh, well...
Also because like the continental title ain't that big of a title, it's the mid card belt that is the equivalent to the one Mercedes finna get. Like, when she gets TBS off Julia, is it gonna be too soon in the career? No, okay, appreciate it, because it's not.
But the thing about it is, though, like, it depends on who holds it to elevate it, like.
Yes, I know Okada holding
cause,
it.
Because not only did Kingston elevate, like, not only, Kingston elevated that belt, because not only if you, when you wrestle Kingston for that belt, you also wrestled Kingston for two other world titles.
Yeah.
Like,
every time he defended one, he defended all three.
It was just this instant they decided it was going to be for the one.
Because and he's been wrestling his tail off, bro.
With all three of these, like, totally all three, too, maybe, like.
And, like, especially the way the tournament went about, I'm definitely low key putting, the CC title over the TNT.
Yeah, I mean, it's still CC over TNT, but it is a nice intro title for Okada to win. And I mean, and like we said, when you ask this again, it's Okada.
But all this gonna do is, like, okay, and we gonna get to the other one later on. All it's gonna do is he gonna hold it for a while, and some young talent gonna
exactly.
step up and take it.
Exactly.
I like it.
I see, I can definitely see what you meant with the one later on. It's also a transitional stepping stone. If I want the continental title, I have to fight Kazuchika Okada. I can't just, you know, catch Eddie Kingston slipping on a bad day, get a roll up, da 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 da. No, baby, the Rainmaker has that belt. I now have to work to get for that belt as well.
Once again, congratulations to Kazuchika Okada.
Been over here for a cup of coffee, and that cup of coffee had gold in it. Like, been over here for a cup of coffee, and that coffee had gold.
His title celebration is immediately interrupted by Pac. Like, immediately. Immediately. Pac said on Collision last week, if y'all don't give me trouble, I will go find it. If it means I gotta go face-to-face with the Rainmaker, come here, boy.
I mean, Pac ain't scared of nobody. Like, not a single man on this earth puts fear in the eyes of Mr. Adrian Neville. Mm. Believably so.
Mm-hmm. Backstage, Swerve issues an open challenge because he wants to fight. It is later answered by the Butcher.
The Butcher?
Like, just random Swerve versus Butcher match on AEW TV. Swerve comes away with the win. Afterwards, Swerve says that, basically, you didn't beat me, so I want a title rematch. And Samoa Joe says is, basically, the only way to get rid of people like you is to give you what you want. So I got you. Only to be interrupted by the human equivalent of fecal matter, Don Callis. My God.
That's getting cut.
He says, like, and Don Callis made some very valid points, like, by the way these rankings look like you's in the same spot as my boy, Konosuke Takeshita. So, instead of Joe just out here handing out title shots,
Swerve, you go one-on-one.
Like, how about we head out some number one contender matches? So next week, Swerve will take on Tanosuke Takeshita. Winner, gonna get Joe.
That's gonna be a good match.
I can't wait. Like, because Takeshita just be out here snapping it.
But,
like, we're gonna talk about him later in Rampage. Like,
yeah, that's gonna be good. Boy, I can hear the house calling that knee already.
Next, Hook took on Chris Jericho, and boy, howdy. Like, wanted to see what Hook was made of. Hook's made out of suplex, Mr. Jericho.
My dad is the human. I'm suplex junior, bro. Like,
I'm talking about that they all wrong, and that was the nastiest half ham. I'm talking about John Chris right on his head.
My daddy is the human suplex machine, baby. Like
Jericho never got out of second gear in that match.
Like Jericho didn't allow for it, man. No,
absolutely not.
Like, Hook don't leave room for error in these matches. It's like, you want to see what I'm about? I bet. FTW champion, baby.
I just,
oh, the world crazy.
You know, it's people. You know, it's people don't want. It's people that don't. Well, I say the person's name. It's a certain former WCW talent that don't want Jericho on TV because he's getting too much TV time, and it's kind of he ain't went away long enough for us to miss him. Technically,
I don't have to go away. I just got to keep reinventing myself. That's my whole thing.
All right, baby. I have 8 different identities.
I'm actively
the Lionheart.
Like, I done brought my 90s persona back to the forefront.
Like, I'm actively the Lionheart right now. Like, using the music, using the intangible, getting announced as it and all that.
Sound like this former WCW star mad that they still can't get over in 2024.
You know who it is. Right. You know who I'm talking about, right? Okay. All right. Like, clarification is everything.
Mad that they can't get over in 2024, but it's whatever. Hook came away with the victory. Gave Chris Jericho the fist bump, but boy, Hook definitely just ragged off Chris Jericho in the match.
Like, threw him around.
It was not fair. It was.
It was. He asked for it. It was directly something he wanted.
And now, back to exactly what I knew what was going to happen. Adam Cole is disappointed in Wardlow, so guess what? Wardlow's a bodyguard again.
Adam Cole slipped up and said in that whole disappointment, I'm disappointed.
I should be world champion.
Yep. He didn't bring a title to me. He didn't win the title. And now Wardlow's job is to make sure everybody in the Undisputed Kingdom keeps their titles.
He's bodyguard again. Hooray.
For the third time in his career. I can't wait for the cliche big man breaks away from group and says something along the lines of, I can only do so much with this group.
Hooray. Oh, God.
And exciting wrestling news, hopefully.
Will Ospreay?
Yes, always. Absolutely. Bruv.
Cuts a promo on Bryan Danielson saying that, of course, he couldn't feel Bryan Danielson's shoes because some shoes were too small.
Little feet. Like baby feet. But
if I still have to prove that I'm worthy of going one-on-one with the best, and if I have to follow in his shoes, I, too, we'll fight Katsuyori Shibata, and I'm going to just go ahead and get that match off this week.
That match right there.
Like, yes, Will Ospreay versus Katsuyori is just happening on Dynamite next week.
Like, just on free Wednesday TV. If you miss that one, you're slipping. Honestly.
Tony Storm and Mariah May took on Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa.
That's getting cut, too. That's getting cut, too.
Like, the first music was so hard. Like, she got new trap rap queen music and that's whatever, but like, that was dope.
It wasn't, but it's okay.
Again, Thunder Rosa wants the belt that she never lost, you know, like Roxanne Prince. Like,
all these never lost turns, like, win it back then.
And that's what she's trying to do. She's currently going after the person that she gave the belt to, apparently. Tony Storm, like, they had a pretty decent little tag team match, ending with Thunder Rosa getting a roll up on Tony, I want to say. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a match. That was the match.
And then the main event of Dynamite / the opening of Rampage, Adam Edge Copeland took on Christian Cage in an I Quit match for the TNT Championship. Obviously, it's everything you think it was going to be from two Canadians in Canada. They all fought Independence Box wearing Maple Leafs and, I want to say, I'm not going to say, it's like Maple Leaf and opposing teams jerseys, like hockey sticks, Mother Wayne, like Kill Switch, all of them.
Like all that and a bag of ketchup, like, chips because, like, it's Canada.
I want to say, obviously, this match was less I Quit, more TLC because it was Edge and Christian.
Obviously.
We had the barbed wire, chair. We had nice little diving spots, tables, chairs. Daniel Garcia and Matt Menard managed to get involved for the end of the sequence, which is where we just taped the handcuffed the patriarchy to the
respective ring posts.
Edge then took his new little friend Spike, hit Christian in his no-no square.
He hit him in the nethers with Spike's Shattered Dreams.
And then as we went into Rampage, as it looked like I was going to bust his skull in with Spike, he quit.
And I am your new TNT champion.
Adam today. Edge Copeland, now two-time TNT champion.
Two-time.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, he is a two-time champion. I just thought about that.
Yeah, because I won the match. And then, you know, he won the match. And then I, Christian, immediately stripped Luchasaurus of his number one contendership in the middle of Edge's celebration.
Money in the bank.
I then just had another match for the title in which I won. I looked at Luchasaurus, said, hey, you're not a number contender. Tell him I am. Luchasaurus, you know, then said some variation of all right, because, you know, he don't talk. And then, you know, Christian got the title again.
Ah, he did it. He a dinosaur.
Okay.
After the match, we get a video package where the Bullet Club Gold are excited that they broke Darby's foot. And they got rid of the baggage known as the Acclaim, because this is obviously always about those trio titles and being the best trio in the business.
Told ya.
The Acclaim respond like, first of all, I can't believe we saw it coming, but y'all did this anyway, and now we just refer to the Guns as the Ass Boys again, basically.
I mean, okay, cool.
Like, run up, get done up. And then we had our second wild card match in the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament as best friends Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta took on the Callis family's powerhouse Hobbs.
Powerhouse.
And Ring of Honor television champion Kyle Fletcher. And off the bat, I'm just going to say how disappointed it is to see people like Hobbs and Warlow just keep being put in factions where they're just the big person.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I said it already. I can't wait for the cliche big dude breaks away from group and says something akin to I can only do so much in this group.
I'm so sick of seeing Hobbs with
it's going to be Hobbs' second time doing it, because he said he did it with Ricky Starks.
He did it with Ricky Starks. Didn't he technically do it with QTV too?
Yep. Did it with Ricky. This is Hobbs' third.
This Hobbs' third faction.
What if it's on purpose, though?
To what explain. End?
Let's just say, hey, we know you can't do it. We feel like you can't do it by yourself. And he like, I'm going to keep joining fact. And then I'm like, oh, it kick in. Like, oh, I can do this by myself. This is Book of Hobbs. And go on from there. I feel like they're going to put the title on him eventually.
We dropped Book of Hobbs.
Give him back a CNT title and let him just eat people.
I'm going to say, we dropped Book of Hobbs when I joined Don Callis.
That's who I can see beating Edge down the road.
Powerhouse?
Danny Garcia getting that belt, but it's okay. But back on Hobbs and his book, we dropped that when I joined Don Callis family. Like, I ain't peeled that book. No, we dropped that after the Miro story, because the Miro story was, you know, I needed the book said I needed to be redeemed. I called out the Redeemer. Lost, moved on.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the night did belong to Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta after a very heated, very competitive match. Took out Hobbs with a beach break stomp to the outside of the ring.
Not a beach break.
Before hitting the Dude Buster DDT Orange Punch combination for the win. Best friends will now advance to the quarterfinals of the AEW Tag Team Championship Tournament. Next, and just free Rampage action, and this whole match is on YouTube for a total of 3 minutes and 38 seconds. Katsuyori Shibata took on Kevin Matthews. For people who watch TNA at a certain time, that's that Kevin Matthews, this bro that was with Allison K and Kongo Kong, like no cuh.
Oh, okay.
And Katsuyori just, you know, beat him.
Okay.
And Katsuyori just yanked on
Katsuyori Shibata.
And Katsuyori Shibata just yanked on Kevin Matthews real quick, and that was that. Konosuke Takeshita took on Rocky Romero next, and once again, this young man, Takeshita, it's going to suck when he don't beat Swerve next week.
Oh, yeah.
When he loses. Does that, like, it's going to be a beautiful match. This match is going to be best German in the business today.
Akira Tozawa.
Konosuke Takeshita.
Akira just don't do it. We just ain't seen Akira throw that snap on it, because, you know, Akira's finisher has been diminished to dive bomb. But when the German was Akira's finisher, like, that snap German had snap in it.
Right, but he don't snap German no more. So, like I said, Takeshita.
These knees.
He's so good. I can't wait for him to be champion. I cannot wait for Takeshita to be champion.
I think. Before, man, look here. I know this is going to sound
cliche, and we've probably been saying it for the past couple months since All In. But hey, man, it's almost time to put that belt on Swerve, bro.
Almost,
it's time. Do it, like,
because Joe gonna have to leave anyway. He gonna have to go film.
Oh yeah, Joe finna leave to film Twisted Metal again. All right, cause they
what happens at Dynasty then?
Yep.
Like Swerve versus Joe at Dynasty, Swerve gets the belt.
Yeah.
And then we have just a quick little MLW feud of MJF versus Swerve. Oh my god.
No, baby. MJF comes back. First off, MJF comes back at Dynasty because that's literally the name of my former faction. Tony Love his little name stuff. We bring it back. Big Business CEO, World's End at the end of AEW World's End. MJF's World ended. I'm coming back at Dynasty.
It was Adam Cole.
I'm coming back at Dynasty because that's my faction. Probably bringing my faction because around this time, Hammerstone's TNA might let Hammerstone do some stuff. Holiday is actively in a superstar, just not doing anything. So yeah, coming back then, immediately feuding with Undisputed Kingdom, which is going to lead to Wardlow turning and Wardlow joining my group again. But that's neither here nor there. It definitely leads to a Blood and Guts match,
I guess.
Yes, sir. That's where that happens. Swerve wins the title. Swerve, gets title celebration that it's interrupted by Hangman Adam Page, and we run that back for the 59,000th time on AEW. But MJF is dealing with Undisputed Kingdom.
Oh, we say all that to say that Konosuke Takeshita beat Rocky Romero on Rampage.
Oh yeah, that happened. That was a whole segue. That was segue took a hyperdrive. But
it's cool because we said, Konosuke Takeshita is gonna face Swerve next week.
There it is. That's how you got there.
And the winner's gonna face Joe.
There it is. We got back on the train, folks.
And then our last piece of action on AEW programming.
If it's one thing, the AEW House of Black. Do good.
The Black House.
The House of Blacks.
I don't think that's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's the same thing, but it's okay.
This is a PG show. Mm-hmm. The House of Blacks, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue.
I don't think Sky and House of Black.
I'm at Julia's hip, so I'm in something.
I'm just with Julia, baby. House of Black still be cutting these House of Black promos with four folks.
I'm her dog. I don't know
what this is. That's getting clipped. a fresh pair of scissors. I demand it, honestly. That's just that in particular. If you don't cut nothing else.
TBS champion Julia Hart and Sky Blue took on Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander in a street fight.
Boy, when AEW put on a women's street fight, tag team women's street fight, them things.
First of all, Willow has now been in more AEW street fights than anybody. So, first of all, congratulations to her.
Yeah, girl power.
But yeah, these women do not be holding back in these street fights, baby. Y'all want tables? We got tables. Y'all want blood? We got blood. Y'all want announced? Y'all want Death Valley drivers off the apron on two tables? We got that. You want superplex on thumbtacks, then super kick while you eating them after I did a Cheeky Nando's with your head in your shirt? I got that. You want Cold Blue on the announce table? We got you.
AEW does one thing immensely well. It is the women's tag team.
You want to see fights. A woman forfeit into some chairs? I got you.
Women's tag team street fight, baby. I want to say it's 3 for 3. It's either 3 or 4, but the numbers don't lie.
And once again, just a beautiful showcase for the women in general, And in my opinion, a great way to even follow the I Quit match, because the I Quit match was good, but it was more story driven. These four women just went out there and followed.
They just went out there. Just went out there and had them a knockdown drag at.
And the night did belong to the heels as Julia Hart managed to tap Chris Statlander out in Heartless.
Love that
one. And that is your combined AEW Dynamite Rampage review. As a whole, for the 3-hour program, I was thoroughly entertained. I was thoroughly wrestled out. I'm giving that a 9.
Whole 9.
AEW did beautiful this week.
Whole 9.
It's been good. It's like a reset.
Like I said, now that we got new faces being a focal point other than Chris Jericho, it really is. I'm not dogging Jericho. But Jericho was on episode 1 and he's still here. So,
true.
You got to let the facts be facts. But yeah, this is definitely a huge reset, especially when you consider that the first match that we're getting in the AEW tag tournament, official, is about to be Private Party versus the Young Bucks.
And that's their second going at it.
And they first went at it in the first AEW tag title tournament. So we already running it back like that. So like I said, I'm here for the silver age of AEW. Like I'm here for the new, like I'm here for what's to come next. All right, gentlemen, we have reached the point of the show where if you have anything you would like to say to the people, now is the time to do so. And we're going to start with our guest, Val Vegan Cam. Do you have anything to say to the people or any opinions you want to give and anything like get it out your chest?
Any final closing thoughts and all that good jazz?
Wrestling been good week. It's just we got more this week. We got more wrestling this week. And I was talking to y'all before the show and I didn't get what I was going to say out, but we'll talk about it after. Y'all going to be like, huh? What? What did he say?
Why did he say?
Took it right out of my mouth.
What did he say?
Yep.
But yeah, man, it's a solid reef for wrestling. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. Does what's thing come on Thursday?
Ring of Honor and TNA.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We got a whole week. And Saturday. Oh, yeah. That's a lot of wrestling this week to watch. Oh, and in the NWA.
NWA is Tuesdays as well.
Dang. We got wrestling every day of the week.
Like it's impossible to miss. It's impossible to miss. If you want to watch wrestling, you claim it ain't on, you're lying. Like, I don't know what to watch. There ain't nothing on.
Then watch everything.
Then watch everything.
Because it's all on.
Everything.
Everything. Quan.
CEO. That's it. Like that's the post. That's the post. That's the tweet. That's the comment. CEO.
I was like, well, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue our tumultuous road to the busiest weekend in professional wrestling.
Tumultuous is a very strong word for this boring road to WrestleMania, but like
it's tumultuous because there's other stuff going on other places. So
the road to WrestleMania.
You know, everybody in their grandma still puts on the show WrestleMania weekend. Like that's like I said, the busiest weekend in wrestling.
Wale Mania gonna bang. Then they in Philly.
Like I said, I just can't wait. Like, we 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. It's going to be lit. So, like I said, just find you your favorite group of people. Find you your favorite promotion. And just keep on watching. Collision will return this week, so we'll be able to review that. Also, if there are any developments in NXT, Ring of Honor, and TNA, we will let you guys know here first. But for Val, Vegan, and the Quantum Number One, I am SWS ZJ Pierce. Reminding you that Android 18 is still bae. Nerds for life.